Clerk, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Please stand.
Please stand.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No action taken in closed session. Our student representative to the trustees, Holly's on the basketball team, and she has a game tonight, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. So
Capital Christian.
Capital Christian. So we'll miss her. So now it's time for recognition. If you'd authorize, please.
Tonight we have Yuba Gardens doing their school presentation, and Principal Carrie Iles is going to come up and make a couple of A-plus awards. Hi, everybody. Good evening. I'm Carrie, Principal at Yuba Gardens. Happy to be here. So I think I'll start with Philip Waters, who's sitting over here on my left. He is a math teacher at Yuba Gardens, who Mr. Rogers and I and all of the staff appreciate so very much, because he does so much at our school above and beyond. And we appreciate all that he does. He is a content facilitator. He's helping with the implementation of Common Core. He is our technology expert that everybody's constantly bothering all day long, and he's more than patient. He's a great teacher, and more than anything, he's just a man of integrity and kindness. And Lenny's shaking her head because she knows that's true, too. And so we just very much appreciate you, and thank you for what you do. Thank you, Phil. And then our next award goes to Pastor Stan Reynolds over here, and I know Janice is here too, and they're a team. I know that they work with a few schools in our district, but they're just a group that constantly come in as a community organization and boost the spirits of our teachers, primarily just with little tokens and gifts and catered lunches and just thank yous for what they do on a regular basis. And they also help us with some of our dinners we do for the community, and they've done that in the past. So we just very much appreciate that you always take the time to thank our teachers just simply for what they do every day for our kids in this area. So thank you very much.
Just let me introduce this lady right here. I'm the senior pastor, but this lady right here does most of the work. And her name is Janice, and her husband Mike is here with her today. Mike and I both attended this school. Matter of fact, I probably caused a lot of pain in the school years ago, but good things do turn out. This is my administrative assistant, Debbie Haggard, and I'm glad that she's here. She plays a part of that. And Jim Carpenter is a member of our congregation too, so we just thank you.
Thank you.
Trustee Tony Danable has something he'd like to add.
It's a long time coming. I think Yuba Gardens made an excellent decision this month with Pastor Stan. What you don't know about Pastor Stan and the members of his church, remember these guys? You never met them before. Pastor Stan and his congregation supported a platoon in Iraq for their entire duration of their deployment. He had promised one box a month. In all actualities, the church sent six boxes a month, a total of 288 pounds of home Now, what I will tell you about this platoon is, out of those 35 guys, 6 Bronze Stars, 4 Commendation Medals, 20 Achievement Medals, 0 Purple Hearts. They have cleared 10,000 square miles of Iraq for the 7th Cavalry. They have all come home safely. For the first time in military history, the 7th Cavalry awarded those boys the Golden Spurs as combat cavalry soldiers. I've been sitting on this for a while, Pastor. When they got back, they had this hat made up. And the truth of the matter is, it's the same hat that they all got. They say the hat says it all. All right? Congratulations. Thank you all very much.
And our last award, Patty's not here. She was going to be about 15 minutes late, but Patty Gates is an incredible administrative secretary, assistant, counselor, social worker. What else does she does everything for us and puts in so much extra time, whether it's sports or our Pride program or anything going on after school. She puts in a lot of extra time, and we very, very much appreciate her. And she's going to be walking in the door any minute, so if you see her, congratulate her. But her name is Patty Gates, and we adore her. So, and that's our.
School report, the Yuba Gardens Intermediate School.
So I know you have the report. Mr. Rogers is here with me because I know I asked him to talk a little bit about our Pride program because we're proud of that. I wanted to just make note that in regards to parent participation, we've spent a lot of time the last 3 years getting our community back involved in our school. And through 2 events, our spring festival and then our holiday dinner, we're having attendance between 300 and 400 people, which is really good for Yuba Gardens, and so we're proud of that. In regards to discipline, I put this in the report also. We're very happy that our suspension days have continued to decrease, our expulsions have continued to decrease, and they're the lowest they've been in 5 years. Not that we continue to struggle. The last 2 weeks has been somewhat difficult, to say the least, but things are good in that direction, and I think our Pride program has a lot to do with that. Let's see. I think the other thing that I wanted to mention is how hard our teachers are working. I know you guys hear a lot about Common Core and the implementation of that program, but it's been so difficult for our teachers to implement Common Core standards and supplement curriculum, and our teachers are working overtime to do that, and I know they're grateful they have the time on Fridays. And we're fortunate as a school to have the time each week to actually work on the implementation of the standards and how the curriculum can fit into it. And we've purchased new pieces of supplemental curriculum, and they've had time to work with those. So we've spent just an extraordinary amount of time and energy on that this year. The other thing I noticed when I came to Yuba Gardens about 3 years ago is that I would visit classrooms, and when kids were done, they were just kind of done and sitting and not having much to do. And so this year in particular, we've had a huge emphasis on students and reading. And so we've worked all year long. It started last year. It's not been easy, but it sure is nice to see kids walking around with books and actually reading all the time. So we have, out of 700, and I think we're at 760-something students, we have all but 180 really reading. And so we're proud of that also, because I personally believe that's going to make a huge difference in the productivity academically of our students. So, you want to talk about Pride a little bit?
Sure.
Where we're at. Go ahead.
So, Pride, this year I know that a couple other schools, and you guys probably have heard about PBIS, which stands for Positive Behavior Intervention Supports. There's about six schools in the district that actually implemented it this year. One of the things that we did also was our Pride program, which merged in with PBIS, which PBIS is a framework and a means of team-based data analysis and looking at what works best for students and intervening with students in academics and behavior. So our PRIDE stands for, this year we changed it, it's present and prepared, respectful, integrity, determination, and etiquette. And based on that framework, we taught the students in every area on our campus, hallways, classrooms, the cafeteria on the blacktop, of what PRIDE means, what it means to have PRIDE. And in our advisory classes, we taught those expectations, and that's why we've seen such a dramatic decrease in suspensions and referrals this year already, and we hope we continue along that line. Knock on wood. And so that's where we're headed with it. And just a little plug, our dinner is coming up April 5th. Last year we raised $15,000 for our Pride program. The year before that we raised $10,000. So this year we're shooting for just a flat $20,000 this year. It's April 5th. It's actually going to be at the Art O'Culture Center on D Street. It's the old D Street Mercantile. The VFW Hall, I believe, is no longer going to be operating, so we had to move our location. So if any of the board members are interested, I will have tickets available. They will have to show up in your box. Or talk to Mr. Fleury. He can hook you up. But, you know, the Pride program, and something that you'll hear more about is PBIS stuff. We're going to the training, our national conference in Chicago, to find out more about it and how we can implement it to best meet our kids' needs. And so it's definitely a thing that's helping out our school tremendously. If you come out to Yuba Gardens, you can see it. We've had numerous compliments from people that don't even work in our district to, you know, because you guys all know the trainings that are coming to our campus. We get compliments all the time on how polite our students are being and how well behaved they are, even though we don't necessarily see that all the time. It's nice to get those compliments. I think even superintendents from other school districts have commented that when they visited our campus, how nice and clean it was and those kind of things. So we're definitely seeing an increase in positive behavior, and that's our goal, increase academics and behavior.
I know that Amanda's here tonight, and Amanda helps us a ton with our Pride program and the implementation of PBIS, and none of it is possible without our incredible staff. And I was fortunate to join this team 3 years ago because I didn't know that it's a fantastic school and it's a great staff. So, thank you.
Questions?
I was reading your little blurb there in our agenda, and I think it's really promising that you had 300 parents, you know, become involved in the program and the positive attitude. And it's so nice to see the things turned around in suspensions and all the other problems that have been involved there. It is great. I want to give you guys a compliment for all your work.
Mr. Miller?
I would like to thank these two. I was at Yuba Gardens the year before they arrived, and I go over there now. It's a completely different school. I mean, the kids are fantastic. The teachers, they're always in a good mood. Before these two arrived, it was just the opposite. And I can't say enough about these two administrators. They have done an outstanding job at Yuba Gardens. I just can't say enough.
Mr. Fleury?
I would like to echo that also. We used to work at Yuba Gardens, and I remember the district office mandated we had to cut our suspension rate by 50%, and it's hard to do. You got to have a program. And both these two have proved that good leadership makes a difference. You have good leaders at a school, you'll see that school thrive. I used to gauge it by how many calls I used to get from the former people that were there all the time. I have not had one negative call in 3 years, and that is amazing because I get calls all the time, but not about Yuba Gardens. Carrie and Gary have done a great job. They have a great team, but it takes good leaders, and you've proven to turn a school around like that. It's short of amazing. And you really do need to be commended. You've done a great job. And the community is very happy also.
Anyone else? Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Now, comments from the board members.
Yes, give them a hand.
Mr. Boom? Mr. Miller? Mr. Fleury? Turn on your mic. There you go.
The academic decathlon was held recently, and I would just like to say all the three coaches that do work with these kids, they put in literally hundreds of hours, and I don't think anybody realized if you've not seen one. It was great. Angela, Bill Pretty from Lyndhurst, and the one from Wheatland, they have really make a commitment of over and above for these kids, and they did a great job at that. The Administrator of the Year dinner was great. We had three in our district that won, Gary Cena, his David Gray is vice principal, and Ashley. Jolie was a good friend. They just, as you listen to that, you realize what great administrators we have in these three counties and how hard it is for them to do what they do every day, day in and day out, with the constantly changes that go on. They did a great job. Also, I visited three of the, I'm starting up the Foothill Schools visiting. I visited Browns Valley and was there a day they had assembly, and it was amazing to watch that assembly, the enthusiasm of the staff, of course, the enthusiasm of the principal. And what was amazing for a school of 150, over 60 parents and grandparents were in the audience, and that was just amazing. So we really do have good schools in the foothills. That's it.
Ms. Rick?
I'd like to echo on the academic decathlon. It's always a thrill to see kids in such a positive environment. And the other thing I want to mention is how many compliments I've heard recently about the cooperation from the district staff and the district team and the schools. When things go wrong, okay, the district's been right there. And need to problem solve, the district's been right there. So it's nice to hear that too out of the schools.
Thank you. Mr. Harris?
I'd just like to congratulate our administrators for winning the other night. I know they work very hard, all of them do, and you guys all work very hard, and you all deserve to win, but I don't know what the criteria is. So, but thank you all.
Mr. Danville, is there anyone in the Marysville Joint Unified School District?
Well, I'm in the district, but I'm also in the association. I'm a kindergarten teacher in the district, speaking on behalf of the Marysville Unified Teachers Association, Inga Schlesler, and got a very shortened PowerPoint. What you mentioned about working collaboratively, one particular area that I've seen getting attention more quickly while I set this up, is technology. Thank you so much for hiring more technology people. High five. oh, there it is. Okay. So encouraging to hear somebody speaking to the board about clouds are going away, blue skies coming, and just positive words about funding that should be coming to the district. And while people are planning that, there's going to be the LCAP planning. There's planning about Common Core funding. I would like you to keep in mind the difference between making business decisions and decisions for students. And they're not always completely compatible. Here's the dream, a piece of a dream. I'm sure a lot of people could add a lot of stuff to that. if we had small classes, and not just elementary classes, but if you're an English teacher teaching a writing class, you just can't feel like you get enough input onto those essays that those kids write to give them the everything they deserve. Fully staffed clerical support. To put this together, I went on the internet and I found things that, like the clerical support, that I had never even considered having somebody on staff who would be responsible for all of those things that teachers do that have nothing to do with teaching, like collecting fundraiser money, yard duty, all those things that we could be spending time planning and stuff like that. So school nurses, the recommendation is to have one school nurse to 750 students. That would be awesome. We have 1 to 5,000 right now. Having highly trained full-time teacher assistants, sufficient hardware and technology support for every student, ongoing relevant professional development. As I said, this is a dream. We're not funded well enough to have all of this and more. But we need to have balance. Taxpayers aren't going to fund it the way that it really should be funded to do the best that we could possibly do. But I'd like you to think about these two words when you're making your decisions. Economical and expensive sounds always like economical is the best way to go, until you look at some of the synonyms for those words. Do you want to cut rate? Bargain basement. Cheap, nominal, standard, depreciated. Or would you like it to be valuable, excellent, noble, precious, priceless, superior, worthy? So during the great global economy downfall and the ongoing deficit spending that we've done over the past while, we managed to increase our ending fund balance. This is an old slide that I've showed you before. Just as a reminder, that designated for economic uncertainty piece is the very bottom dark blue. It and the rest of the blue are both unrestricted. And then that red part at the top is restricted. So you can see that not only did the funds increase, but they increased significantly in the unrestricted portion. During a time when we had no idea what was going to happen at the state level with budget, how much money we might be getting in, we got this great big nest egg. So it can feel really good to have this big buffer. Yay, we've got lots of money. Here are some of the consequences from decisions that were made in order for us to have that money. This year, there was no transportation provided for our transitional kindergarten students to attend the transitional kindergarten centers, such as the one at Cedar Lane. But also on the decision side, it was decided that the transitional kindergarten classes would be their population would be included in the average class size for K-3. So the consequence was that the transitional kindergarten class dropped from 13 students to 23 because people couldn't get their kids there. And we all know, I think, which of those 23 kids probably needed to be there more. The average class size in K-3, because Trans K was put in there, increased to about 26, and they're only capped at 32. I believe at this time there's a kindergarten class of 29, while the trans kindergarten class is very low. It's not a decision that had to be made. It was made because it's economical. We also, over time, have reduced our nurse FTEs from three to two in the entire district. I've recently been meeting with the nurses, and they have horrific work conditions. And our student health is at risk. Some of the things that they had to tell me, I really wanted to bring to you tonight so that you can consider the kind of risk that some of our students are being put into, those with diabetes, those with various health plans. They just can't get around that much. Sometimes those nurses are driving up to Yuba Feather and then back again and having to go over south of the river to some of those schools over there. And they can't be sick. They can't be out themselves. What if they have a car breakdown? There's no wiggle room in their schedule. They eat lunch while driving. Student academics are at risk. For example, if a student with diabetes needs to be monitored all the time, it's in their health plan through their IEP, how can they go on a field trip if the nurse can't spend the entire day going on the field trip with that student? We were lucky at Edgewater. We finally convinced a grandmother to go to take care of her grandchild on the field trip. And we've hired, through a subcontract, LVNs, who are very expensive. And really, if we're going to hire IVNs, LVNs, it should be a hiring, not a subcontract. That's a mess. They need to have time to do health plans, attend IEP meetings, do hearing vision screenings, diabetic care. All of those things are minimalized. One of the nurses expressed to me that when she's leaving a school, she kind of puts blinders on because she's afraid a teacher is going to ask her a question about a student in her classroom. And she just doesn't have time. She has to get to that next student. So something really needs to be done there before something bad happens. So skip a lot of what I was planning on putting on here. At your last meeting, I felt for you. I understood why Mr. Flory took that item about Scott Lane off of the consent agenda, wanting to make sites whole. I heard you say that, not you, Mr. Flory, but the board, I heard words like, well, we don't want to look bad by putting an executive director position at the district office when we still have all these part-time people that need to be restored. But I have to tell you, funding it but not calling it what it is not transparent. We have come to you in the past, in previous years when we were in the middle of bargaining, and come with a list of here are the directors, coordinators, superintendents in Yuba City. Here are the ones here in Marysville. You can't make that comparison if you don't even know what people's titles really are. I have to tell you that I've heard a lot of really negative feedback about that. I encourage you to take it back. Those people who voted for that and got that, please reconsider. You can bring it back to the board. I've heard that Mr. Lane is an awesome person. Make him an assistant superintendent, if he's that awesome. The way that our district works, where you have the board over the superintendent, over the assistant superintendents, over the directors, makes sense. Somehow we ended up with one executive director, and that position that we have right now doesn't really fit in there so good. You can't just slip it in. Is it after superintendent? Is it after assistant superintendents? Who's that person's boss? So make it clear. That's all I had to say. Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other labor organizations wishing to speak tonight? If not, now it is time for public comment. I have two cards. Sean Schneider, please.
Good evening to the board and all in attendance. My reason for being here is to talk about the Marysville Park and Recs. I presently am an educator through St. Isidore Catholic School in Yuba City, but even more recently I have been hired as the Lyndhurst varsity football coach. Through both of these entities of education, I've come across individuals who are interested in having their children participate in sports programs. At St. Isidore, I run the athletic program as well as a few other tasks. In running that program, I've worked with a lot of small schools in the area and also families from both sides of the river. And they've mentioned a few times being able to have younger students, first through fourth, participating in sports. What I'm looking to do is bring AAU on a larger level to this area and running tournaments and maybe running clubs, which are not offered now. I can use some of the proceeds from these tournaments and clubs to begin to fund recreational programs, i.e. sports programs, not as much leisure. The reason I'm addressing the school board is because I know that the facilities at the junior high schools, Marysville and Anna McKinney, Lyndhurst, and Yuba Gardens would be some places where we would need to hold tournaments of these natures. Again, I think I can use some of the proceeds from these tournaments to begin to allow students at a beginner level just to be opened up to the idea of some of these sports and begin training or participating at a much younger age, kindergarten, first, second. I know that a lot of times they don't get these opportunities until they hit the junior high age, seventh and eighth grade. So I will be out at Lyndhurst working to implement a few programs for kids out there, but I did have a passion to see students and children of all ages across the board get opportunities. And so I just wanted to make that announcement that that's what I am looking to do. And I definitely will, if I get the opportunity, come back with more information on how we can begin this process.
Thank you, sir.
May I ask a question? Have you contacted Oliver's Public Utility District? They used to have, out at one of their parks, they used to have a rec building, a small one. And it would be, they used to hold dances and meetings and activities, some activities at that time.
I have not. I'm familiar with the area you're speaking of, where the pool is and the building behind it, things of that nature. With the AAU, I'm looking to run tournaments that would range from fourth grade up to 12th, boys and girls, with levels at the advanced level, middle, and intermediate. So it's feasible that we have 200 teams from outside of the area coming in. So to just be at one small facility may not be large enough in order to truly generate the funds needed.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Good luck. Andrea Tegan. Sure.
My name's Andrea Zagan, and I'm here on behalf of Jim's Backhoe Service. I'm here to address a couple of jobs that took place at Dobbins and Yuba Gardens Elementary. In the beginning of December, my husband Jim came into the district facilities office to find out how he can get on the invitation list to bid projects now that he no longer works for a previous company that worked for the district as a superintendent. He has since reopened his business as a sole proprietor for Jim's Backhoe Service. At that time, he was asked to bid a job, two jobs, portable demolition and asbestos removal at Dobbins Elementary and Yuba Gardens, because there was only one bid submitted due to another contractor backing out. Jim submitted his bid for these projects via email on December 17th with a total bid price for both sites of $27,803.50. The start date of 12/26/2013 had passed, and he had never received anything from Michelle Healy letting him know if he was or wasn't awarded the job. He drove by the sites out of curiosity to see if work had commenced, and it had. He asked me to request a copy of the proposal tabulation sheet from Denise at Facilities, which she emailed to me. I received a copy of the proposal tabulation, which showed Jim's Backhoe Service as the apparent low bidder. However, we weren't awarded the job. Michelle failed to notify us that we were not awarded the job, and she also failed to notify us why our bid was dismissed, despite the fact that we were the apparent low bill bidder. We simply want an explanation why we weren't awarded the job, even though we were deemed the apparent low bid. Jim and I attended the last board meeting on January 28th to get an explanation. However, our item was removed from the agenda. After that meeting, I looked online to get the date of the next board meeting. I reviewed the agenda and special reports and saw the projects had not only been split into two separate contracts, but the revised contract amounts were under $15,000 each. I also noticed the revised contracts were drafted after the work was completed. I verified the total amount of the revised contract amounts, which equal $27,189, which happens to be $614.50 less than our original bid submitted on December 17th. It seems unethical and immoral that the contracts were amended after the work was completed. In fact, I believe it's borderline illegal. It seems really convenient that both revised contract amounts are less than $15,000 each, which contradicts the original contract amount submitted by Burko of $32,315 on December 17th. That's it. Any questions?
Thank you. Now it's time for a superintendent's report. Dr. Tuck?
Actually, I'm going to save my time at the microphone for when we get to the last agenda item on Common Core implementation funding. So I'm going to pass.
Okay. Item number two, approval of the minutes from the regular board meeting of January 28th, 2014. Do I have a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion to approve by Mr. Rick and a second by Mr. Danable. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's seven. The consent agenda. Board is requested to approve the consent agenda items under educational services, categorical services, personnel services, and facilities department.
I've got one I want to pull.
Ms. Fleury?
Facilities number two.
Mr. Fleury would like facilities number two pulled.
Oh, and three, I'm sorry, two and three.
Two and three?
Yes.
Any other? Do I have a motion to approve the rest of the consent agenda item, please?
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
We have a motion by Mr. Danable. Do I have a second?
I second it.
A second by Mr. Reck. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passed unanimously. Mr. Fleury?
When I read this item, I had several questions, and I did not know the young lady was coming tonight. It was on our agenda last time, January 28th, and I noticed at the time that we were approving it after the work had happened, and that was a red flag to me. And then it was pulled that night. Then we got our agenda this time, and I looked through it, and I noticed that she said it had been split for two. And I've got questions because I don't want to put my name on anything unless I know we're doing the right thing. Number one, why are we doing, did we have an item that was asked to approve after the work had been all done? Number two, the first contract was done on December 19th. Now we have an amended contract done on February 4th. The first contract was done for, I think, $32,000 to Burco, and then I heard afterwards we'd had somebody that put in for a low bid, and so it seems very confusing that we're asking to approve something, a contract was changed after all this work had been done. So that's some of the questions I have. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury.
Hello, board members.
Good evening.
Michelle Healy, Director of Facilities, and I appreciate you pulling the item, Jim, because I do think that Mr. Fleury has a point, and I would like to explain to all of the board members why the agenda item was pulled last time and why you are seeing it again in a revised form. To answer your first question, Mr. Fleury, the project was supposed to occur over Christmas break. We put the project out and asked for quotes from several contractors, and we received two. And we were assuming that the project would be under the $15,000 mark, dollar amount. If they were, in fact, under $15,000, we wouldn't have to go to the board. So we had planned to do the work over Christmas break, and when one of the schools, Dobbins, came in over $15,000, I made the decision to move forward with the work, even though we didn't have contract approval from the board for that amount, which is why you are seeing it now coming back as a ratification. The contracts that I brought to the board last board meeting that ended up being pulled were unfortunately not done correctly, and the previous contracts were structured to have a contract amount that exceeded what was allowed by public contracting code. And therefore, that contract was void for the two sites. What is coming back now are two separate contracts that we are able to split because the projects were done at two completely different sites. And the contracts are for the amount that public contracting code will allow us to pay the contractor for.
The question I have is originally it was $32,000. Why did they agree suddenly now they're going to go $27,000, $5,000 after all the work's been done?
The Burco did agree to those amounts because that is what we can legally pay them under public contracting code.
Of course, there was no board meeting in December, or just
correct
after the 12th, so there was no way to get that in front of the board until January.
Yes.
And he wanted the work completed during the holiday, right?
Yes, it was very important to us to have the demolition occur when the students weren't mm-hmm. at the sites, and we had been trying to coordinate with the sites. We tried to do it over Thanksgiving, and we didn't accomplish that, and so we really wanted to get it done over the Christmas break.
Well, I'm sure it's much better to have a demolition project when there aren't any kids around.
Yeah.
So, okay, just wanted to make that clear that up as far as why it was done over the holidays.
Oh, I understand that.
Now, I think that we have a situation here. We had a low bid. We had a contract that you said was not done right. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We had a demolition take place that we had no clue at the December board meeting that was going to happen. We now find out that we're voting on something that's already been completed, a decision made without our vote, and now we have an amended contract that happens to be the same amount that the lowest bidder offered us.
The new contracts
You should have known what you were doing the first contract.
Yes, you're correct. I should have known that.
All right. So I got to tell you, everything that's being said right now, I'm not feeling good about, that we've done the right thing.
Everything that I am discussing and everything that is in the new contracts has been reviewed with our district attorney.
When should we review the first one with the district attorney? Why did we get to this point?
I did not, and that was an oversight on my part.
Well, that oversight has cost somebody the opportunity to make money.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty big. And I don't think just the fluffy, I did the wrong thing, really works. You have acted to do something without the board's approval, as far as I see it. And when you did that, the paperwork wasn't even right. So now you're asking us to correct a situation that was not correct, not handled right. Now you're asking us to approve it and make it all right.
Yes. So that the contractor who did the work can get paid.
Well, why did we pick that contractor when we had a bid in for less money?
We chose the lowest responsible bidder, which is what we have to do per public contracting code.
I do not think that we did a very good job handling this matter. That is my personal opinion.
Any other comments?
The only other question I have, how long, those porters have been there for a long time. How long did you know that you were going to have to do this, where it just came up to Christmas and you had to do it? How long before that did you know you should have put it on the agenda?
I did fail to get it to the board in time. I failed to get quotes. I was planning on it coming in under $15,000 for each of the sites, so then it wouldn't come to the board. We would just issue a PO for that.
Thank you.
The Yuba Gardens quote came in at $12,190, and that is what the new contract that you're seeing for Yuba Gardens is. The Dobbins quote came in for more, but under the public contracting code, we can only pay them $14,999.
I just want to know why we wrote a contract for $32,000 and change and then amended it after the work was done, after some conflict came up that somebody put in a lower bid. It's a simple question.
It was not.
And now to spin it and say that you didn't do the paperwork right, you didn't have time to get it on the board agenda, any of those things, I got to tell you, that is not the way that we should be doing business.
I agree, and the issue was brought up prior to my knowledge of Jim's backhoe service or anybody else having any questions about the contract. It was brought up within the school district ourselves.
Which administrator signed the contract?
Superintendent Todd did.
I'm sorry?
Superintendent Todd did.
Okay, then the work has been done. Somebody's going to have to be paid on this, I think. But there's a personnel issue here that's
kind of
getting in where we don't need to be in that area right now. So,
Michelle, I got one quick question. What's lowest responsible contractor? Can you define that for me, please?
That is actually the wording in the code that says we can choose to not accept the low quote or bid if a contractor is deemed not to have all capacities to complete the job in the district's view.
I just have one more question. Shouldn't people in these kinds of positions know what they can and can't do? Oh, no, I'm not talking about it. I'm just saying, we would think that we know how. Yes, okay.
And we do, and I will say that Kathy Cartwright, the director of purchasing, was the one that caught the issue when it was brought up to her to create the PO. So she is the person in that job, and she is the person that caught the error.
And the error was caught.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No.
Thank you very much for your time. Do I have a motion or motions for consent items number 2 and 3, please, for your consideration?
I'll move to approve items 2 and 3 of Facilities Department.
We have a motion by Mr. Reck to approve items 2 and 3, and a second from Mr. Harris. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Mr. Miller? Aye. Ms. Fleury?
Aye.
No.
That's 6-1. Mrs. Todd?
Six yes, one no.
Six yes, one no. Okay, we'll move to new business. Now to new business, purchasing department. Resolution 213-14-21, school bus purchase. Do I have a motion?
Any explanation?
Any explanation? Oh, I'm sorry, please.
I'm sorry, stop me from clarification. I didn't know if there were any questions on the school bus purchase. It's another Feather River Air Quality Management grant that we received for $140,000 out of the $165,000. We have the $25,000 matching funds. We had budgeted for that, so we have that set aside. It takes, 13 is one of our old Crown buses. I'm sure Jim knows that bus well. It's an old gross polluter, three-axle Crown. It was a really good bus in its time, but it's 30 years old, and it's got about 560,000 miles. So we're at the end of its useful life. We opted not to put in for a grant to try to repower it because everything else is wore out on it. The new bus is the reason that we've asked for this piggyback. We've been using the AZ bus, or we've been buying the Bluebird buses, and we've had some problems. There's been some turnover in that dealership. The service isn't what it used to be, so we're going back to a Thomas-type bus. So the Hemet piggyback is for the Thomas through Bus West. The bus is really nice, state-of-the-art. There's a couple of new things that they've changed on them. One is the flex seating, and it makes it really practical for us. The seats are 39 inches wide, like most seats in buses are, but these have the shoulder strap seat belts, but you have the ability to move the bottom over. So in the morning, if you're picking up high school kids, you can put two to a seat. Later in the afternoon, or later in the day, if you're picking up elementary kids, you can scoot it over, and there's three per seat. So it makes it really nice. You don't have to make that decision up front if you want the two per seat or three per seat. So it's a really nice bus. It's a good morale booster for my drivers, good morale booster for my mechanics. Romero and I are always working with our ratio of buses to mechanic. Obviously, if you've got to have 25 buses, you'd rather have 25 new ones under warranty than 25 of those 30-year-old ones to try to maintain. And the kids, while the kids are in school, that's the most damage they can do to their lungs. The state-of-the-art buses are just the particulate traps on them. It's just really, really good technology. It's just a really, really good bus to have in our fleet. And we'll stay after trying. Next year we're hoping to get replaced bus 12, which is an 86. 13 is an 84. And then we have, this year it changed a little bit with the smog laws, and the two-stroke Detroit diesels now go on the list for the pre-87s. So we've got six of those, so we should keep moving in that direction with our hazard matching funds in place so that we can write the grants for them.
Right now, you're just looking at purchasing one bus, or because it says here one or more.
That's all we got the grant for. There's $350,000 available through the Blue Sky grant from Feather River, and that's for the DMV fees. It went from $2 to $4 per vehicle, and that part of that goes toward buying new buses. Okay. So out of the $350, we got $140. Next year we'll try to slide two by and get two. We try to get the bigger share of the money each year.
Right.
But there's only one this year.
Yeah.
Did an excellent job. Sounds like a great bus. Any other comments or questions?
Thank
we entertain a motion then, please.
Second.
A motion by Mr. Miller, a second by Mr. Fleury. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passed unanimously. Resolution 2013-14-22, support Read Across America Day. And the purpose of the agenda item, each year the National Education Association sponsors Read Across America on Dr. Seuss's birthday to encourage families to read together. This item gives the board the opportunity to formally support this event, which will be celebrated this year on Friday, 2/28/14, through Sunday, 3/2/14, is the actual Read Across America Day.
So move.
So moved by Mr. Miller. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Danable. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. Vote for CSBA Delegate Assembly, Subregion 4-3. The purpose of this item is to nominate a representative. And we have three options. Vote for nominated candidate, that is Mr. Fleury. Vote for a write-in candidate or not submit a ballot. It's your pleasure, board.
I'd like to approve the resolution nominating Mr. Fleury.
We have a motion then to approve Mr. Fleury to serve on the CSBA Delegate Assembly. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And we have a second by Mr. Miller. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Congratulations, Mr. Fleury. Continue the good work.
I'll do the best job I can do.
Now, I passed over, it's time for the superintendent's report. Dr. Todd?
Well, and actually this is the item that says Common Core State Standards Implementation Funding. Governor Brown set aside approximately $200 per student to help with the implementation of the new Common Core standards and put three restrictions on those dollars. They could be spent on professional development, technology, or instructional materials, and we need all three. What I have before you as a proposal in rough numbers, because the amount that our district will receive is $1,850,000, which sounds like a lot of money until you start parceling it out. This year, just currently, the State Board of Education has approved K-8 textbooks in math, and our teachers are desperately in need of math textbooks. Those are currently the only core subject area materials that are ready for adoption. Language arts will happen next year, so in hopefully, it may not be till 2016, so it's going to be a couple years out. So right now, math textbooks will be available for us to spend our funds on because these funds need to be completely spent by June of 2015. So what you have before you is a proposal to do a K-12 math adoption in the amount in round numbers of $1 million, technology in the amount of $200,000, and that's to help some of our Hill schools that have not had the luxury of some of the additional categorical funding to purchase technology. The new Smarter Balanced Assessment is an online test that all of our students will need to take this year. It's a whole other subject, but the Smarter Balance, they're starting out with kind of a pilot to test the test, and then next year it'll be a full-blown assessment that our students will need to take. And finally, professional development in the amount of around $650,000. Should the textbook adoption for math not need all $1 million, we'll shift those remaining funds down to professional development because we have plenty of professional development that needs to take place in our district, not only for the new math textbooks, but also for the language arts materials that we're going to have to piece together with supplemental materials to make that work for the Common Core instruction for the next 2 years. So with that, This is the plan for the $1,850,000. And tonight it's here as a discussion item, and then the following meeting it will be up for a vote.
Board, your pleasure.
Questions?
It'll be kind of interesting to see whether the state uses its usual funding system to give us about 80% of what they really promised.
Yeah.
So,
well, if you think about it, it does sound like a large number, but if you looked at trying to provide every one of our students with a computer, you'd be sadly short. $200 does not buy a computer that our students would be able to use. Staff development, that's about 4 to 8 hours of staff development. That's not nearly enough for all the work we need to do. So certainly it's not enough to do everything we want to do, but at least we're going to take those dollars and use them to their best advantage and use them in those three areas as designated by the funding source.
Any other questions to Dr. Dodd? Okay, this is just an item for consideration, and we'll bring it up in the next meeting. Ready to close the meeting. Mr. Fleury, did you want to?
Last time we closed the meeting for Mrs. Hicks, who had been with the district 21 years. The Hicks dynasty had 210 years. This time we've lost another Hicks. She was a teacher at Johnson Park, Ella Oliverst, and she taught up at Loma Rica. She was also my daughter's third grade teacher. She died of cancer on Saturday, and the funeral will be this Friday at 2 o'clock at Crossroads Community Church. Tremendous teacher, come from a tremendous family.
We'll close the meeting then in the memory of those people. Meeting adjourned.